The book is Teaching True Love to a Sex at 13 Generation, and the authors are Eric and Leslie Lutie. We're speaking today with Eric Lutie. Eric, welcome to First Voice.
Thanks, Donna.
Many parents have no idea that the sexual crisis includes their teen and maybe even preteen.
I think it's interesting because I believe most parents out there know that there is a sexual crisis. They know that there is a battle. There is a concept that won't hit my home though, and it's sort of like identity theft or viral attacks on our computer. It's not because we're stupid or because there is something wrong with us necessarily that we get hit. It's because we've made ourselves vulnerable. We don't understand the intensity of the battle that we're in. We need more than purity pep rallies for young kids today. We need more than just sending them to youth group and just hope that if they're in a moral environment, they will be preserved. We need to take this battle seriously, and that's what this book is about.
Some teenagers see sex as just another commodity to sell.
I think most teenagers don't really understand the context for what sex was given to them for in the first place and what God intended it to be. It's wielded as a popularity tool in our younger generation today, a pleasure tool. We see the younger generation sees a sitcom Friends, and they see a version of sexuality which looks fun and enticing and has no consequences. George Washington, when he was talking about limited government in early American history, used the illustration of fire. And he said, fire, when it's in its proper context, for instance, he used the context of the fireplace, actually adds beauty and warmth to a home and is beneficial. But when fire gets out of that context, it burns down the entire house. And so he was talking about the importance of limiting government. Well, the same thing is true with sex. When a teenager doesn't know the proper context for sex, it ends up burning down their entire house. And so it's up to parents to equip their children with an understanding of that proper context where it's truly, it doesn't lose its beauty, it doesn't lose its luster, but it actually becomes beneficial to their life.
It's a standard in Christian homes to tell teenagers to wait for true love.
Which is obviously a great thing. We can't complain about telling young people to wait for true love. But the problem is the younger generation looks around them and they look at Christian marriages around them and they think, you know what, is this what I'm waiting for? This isn't something worth waiting for. And that's one of the biggest issues the younger generation is dealing with, is that we're not giving them something worth waiting for. We're not giving them the vision of something better. We tell them to abstain, but we don't give them truly what they're abstaining for, what the benefit really is. We oftentimes tell them so that they can have a better marriage, so that they can have a better sex life, when in actuality they look around them and they're good critiquers of the marital status of the generation before them. They don't want what they see. They want something better. So we need to begin giving them a vision of something better, something beautiful. God intended marriage to be a little taste of heaven on earth. Let's begin to acquaint them with that from a young age. Then abstinence makes sense.
How to treat the opposite sex?
Well, the younger generation hasn't been trained to become a champion of the opposite sex. We have a tendency to look at them and criticize the opposite sex, or look at them with a selfish agenda. Like, for instance, as a guy, I was trained as a young man to look at women as what they bring to me, what type of gratification they can bring to me. The exact opposite is what God intended. He wanted us to learn how to be servants to the opposite sex because we truly have an influence in that arena. Men are made in an extraordinary way by the words of women. Women are shaped, their whole perception of beauty and dignity oftentimes flows from the words of men in their life. So instead of building each other up, we're tearing each other down and creating a wicked cycle. One of the most incredible pictures of manhood I ever saw growing up was in a book called The Scottish Chiefs, and it was the life of William Wallace. It was incredible. I've never seen such a picture of strength and servanthood, of sensitivity, yet of a nobility. The blend of what I've termed a warrior poet. And what was amazing is I've never seen such an incredible picture of manhood, but what was even more incredible is who gave it to me, and it was the author of this book. It wasn't a man. It was a woman. A woman had a true vision for manhood, and she inspired me to it. We need to train young people to become champions of the opposite sex.
Your book is aimed at parents who want their children to understand the choices.
And I would say, even to go beyond that, it's aimed at parents who need to realize the intensity of the battle as well in their children's lives. You know, because it's the complement of the two that really make a powerful parent, is that they need to have that intense interest in their child's welfare and also understand the intense battle that child is in today. And parents need to be equipped with more than a feather duster out there in this battle. They need to truly be equipped to win the battle in their child's life. And that's what we're trying to do in this book.
The style and order of the book are very interesting. It's not just a problem explained, it's a plan.
Yeah, it's interesting because Leslie and I, our generation, we represent the younger generation who is super sensitive to being told what we're supposed to do in our Christian lives, but then it's never made practical for us. For instance, I remember becoming a Christian. I was told to read my Bible, to pray, and to love God, but they were just theoretical concepts, and so I didn't know how to read my Bible. I knew I was supposed to, but I didn't know how. I didn't know how to pray. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Is it just talking at God? I didn't know how to love God. Is it an emotional thing? How does this all work? And so Leslie and I have become super sensitive. In all our books, you know, what you've brought up is it's not just a problem explained. It's a plan. It's a practical. Oswald Chambers says it great. He says, the Christian life is half mysterious and half mechanical. If you treat it as if it's just mysterious and just theoretical, you end up being a fanatic. If you treat it as if it's just mechanical, you become a legalist. But there's both. We need the enabling power of God, which is truly mysterious, but then we also need to obey, we need to take steps forward, and we need to do things practically in our life. And that's what we're trying to do in this book, is give parents practical tools that they can use to instill in their child a vision of something better, to inspire them for something more, to practically train them to be excellent with the opposite sex, and even teach them how to use their home as a practice ground for their children to be great in their future marriages.
Eric, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you, Donna.